We are live for our Sunday weekly warm up, which is our favorite show every single week. I think we can say that because this is our live show exclusive in our private Facebook group. And then, of course, streaming later on the following Monday, every social media platform possible, and as an episode of Teach Better Talk. But this one's fun. This one airs exclusively in our group. I can't even speak. I'm so excited to be here. We love the comments. The comments are a huge part of our show, and we love being able to interview fantastic people. The last few weeks, we had Mickey Smith Jr., Jackie Mosian, and of course, now we have the one and only Dr. Neil Gupta joining the show, which I know he's a fan favorite, and that's why he's here. It's going to just so be so fun. I'm really thrilled to be back, and thankfully, Brad Hughes is here to actually bring the value in the conversation. So we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Sunday Weekly Warm Up. My name is Ray Hewart, and I am joined by the one and only Brad Hughes and our amazing guest, Dr. Neil Gupta. Brad, how are you doing on this incredible Sunday?
Ray and Dr. Neil, I'm doing great. Great to be back in the Sunday Weekly Warm Up space with you, Ray Hewart, and of course with our friend, Teach Better friend, colleague, and all around amazing inspirational educator and leader, Dr. Neil Gupta. DNG is in the house.
DNG. We
know.
Go ahead.
You are famous, Neil. I like didn't even know how to explain that, like how to intro you coming onto the show because everyone has some legendary inside joke with you.
Yeah, exactly. The real DNG and all that comes into it. Amazing.
So
good.
I was thinking of the notorious BIG, and I was trying to think of some adjective for a DNG. Like I was thinking like splendiferous, the splendiferous DNG or the melodious. I'm not sure if melody or singing is part of your life, Dr. Neil, but anyway, if any of our viewers want to chime in with the adjective that goes in front of the DNG, please chime in. We'd love to hear from you.
Ridiculousness is what it is. Ridiculous.
That's how it's gonna go. We're starting there.
Well, I am excited to see everyone in the comments. Please feel free to comment. This is a huge part of the show, so please choose to be active. Don't just consume, but choose to be an active participant in the show every single week. Neil, I am excited to chat with you and, of course, Brad, catch up with you because I haven't been on the show for 2 weeks. And if it's okay with you, Neil, I'm going to intro you the way I feel like I've experienced the last 2 years. And I know everyone else can do their own intro of why they're such a Neil Gupta fan. You guys can put those in the comments. My background, and Brad, I don't even know if you know this, but I know Dr. Neil Gupta because he was somebody that when I was studying middle level education kept coming up as someone super involved in middle school, which was my passion. And somehow, some way, social media connected us. And when we connected, it was like talking to a celebrity. Like I was trying to not be dumb, but I was like, I know exactly who you are. Hi, my name's Ray. Like there's no reason that we'll ever need to talk again, but I just think you're the coolest thing. And I love the work you're doing in middle school. Long story short, now you are one of my great friends. I really love the learning I've been able to do with you over the years. And you have gotten so involved in the Teach Better community, and I don't even know why you have fallen into this community. I know why we love you here. I have no idea what you get out of this, but Neil is a part of our speakers network. He's blogged with us. He's attended our admin mastermind. People book him to speak all over the world via the Teach Better team with the speakers network. He's also an ambassador for some reason. Like, this guy is just so involved. And I have to tell you, I think this is like the 20th time I've interviewed you, and it's always so much fun.
All
So
right,
that's my intro.
so like you're like my wife's gonna walk around the corner and just be like, stop, blowing up his head because he's gonna, I won't be able to kind of be around the guy for the rest of the evening and week. So, number one, let's kind of go there. But I'm gonna answer your question, right? Like, you know, teach better. We know that there's, and I know I'm like preaching to the choir that there's this, the groups that that's on here already loves teach better, but you know, it's exactly, I'm going to put in words what everybody already knows. We could be 1,000 places. There are 1,000 different gatherings that, that occur all over the place with education where you get information. But I think the difference is you kind of see how people build family. And I'm not going to even just say build team. I'm going to use words build family. And it was something I wanted to be a part of. I mean, let's be honest with you. You know, people feel more whole. Like, I think that we've found we're the crazies, if you want to think of it that way. Come on, let's be honest. It is Sunday night. This is like work week Eve. And not just the three of us, but people have decided that they're going to take a break from either dinner or cleaning or preparing their meal for the week, television binge watching going on and all that kind of stuff, to say, let's time out and come together because we believe in family. That's really what this is about. And unless you know, like, you know, but if you don't know, you don't get it. So
I love it. Brad, I am so glad that we have this wacky time that we get to hang out.
It is an amazing time. It's an hour that I truly look forward to each and every week, not just the opportunity to reconnect with you and with guests like Dr. Neil, but an opportunity to come together, as Dr. Neil said, with our Teach Better family in the comments. And later on in the week, I look forward to seeing how people are responding to our conversations. I love bringing guests like Dr. Neil to the fore to help them share their awesomeness, not only what, you know, not only what Dr. Neil does, but how he does it. I mean, you know, Ray, you've described Dr. Neil as sort of a rock star, like a someone who is well-known and has a lot of renown in educational communities. But I've had the pleasure of meeting Dr. Neil in person at Teach Better 22. And Dr. Neil is among the most humble educational leaders and agents in our space. And I think that's what makes him, I'm talking about Dr. Neil like he's not even here. So, but I think that's what makes Neil, I think it's what makes you among the most enduring connections we can make, is that you lead by example, but you lead with true humility and with respect for everyone around you.
Neil, can I also just give you a shout out? Because we have still yet to say even what you do in education. So let's just keep avoiding it, because apparently it's not relevant to this dialogue, but you are still, I looked at this earlier this weekend, you are still the number one episode that's been played on Teach Better Talk. And you were on Teach Better Talk in 2018.
What?
And you are still the most listened to episode, which is insane. I don't, not to say it wasn't a great episode, but I don't know why. It's still the most highly played.
Yeah, that'll be one of the first entries in our Teach Better Hall of Fame. That our fearless leader, Jeff Gargis, has in store. I think there'll be an award ceremony. Dr. Neil, we'll roll out the red carpet for your inevitable podcast Academy, Teach Better Academy Award. And Ray, if it's okay, I'll be willing to give up my sash and tiara that I received when I became a Teach Better ambassador. I'll make sure it's pressed and cleaned for Dr. Neil to sport for the award ceremony.
Yeah, like I said, I'm gonna keep that video on loop for the rest of my life to keep the numbers up there, just so I can, like, again, get these positive accolades. Like, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's so funny. But okay, so Neil, we've talked about you far too much. I know that you are an incredibly humble and wonderful, normal human being. So I actually really enjoy interviewing you and talking you up, because I know inside you're like, okay, can we stop? Like, let's talk about something else.
Let's move on.
But just to confirm, actually something interesting, I think our community will find some interest in, is you actually just took a new position, and not to put words in your mouth, but other people would have said you were in the dream role previously. So you had the dream job that most people would be like, you stay in that job forever. Now you're in a new job, which I hope you're enjoying, but to be honest, I know that this role can only be really, really challenging. I would love to hear all about the past, like, few months, right? Like, you really made a big transition and you moved. So tell us, how's life?
Yeah. So I would say this was about November last year. It was awesome that my superintendent actually, and again, that previous district, walked into my office. It was like 7 a.m. For some reason I was in there and he was in the office, and he walks in and he said, "You're going to Oakwood." And then he leaves my office and just walks away. So I'm like chasing after him. Am I getting fired? Is there something going on? Or is there something I didn't know? And And, you know, he said, it's time. It's time for you to go. Like, I'd been in the past position for 8 years. And you're right. Dream position. And when we talk about dream positions, it's not about the title. It's you're in this fine old machine, right? Like this, the team around you is respects one another highly. You're taking care of crisis after crisis or moving forward some great leadership things. And things are just working on all cylinders. And they were affirming to me, like they were, you know, letting me have that latitude to lead and grow, which is exactly a healthy space and place you're supposed to be. Right. And, but the timing of my personal life was also, so you've got that challenge that he'd kind of prompted. I've got two boys at home. One was this past spring graduating college and one was graduating high school. And so just the idea of like, we're going to go through family stages. We're going to become empty nesters in our house. And if something's going to happen, that this is the time to do it. We had made some transitions while the kids were young, moving districts and, it takes a toll on the family. And this was an opportunity of kind of having this clean slate to be able to make this next move, my wife and I. And so we did. We packed up and we moved. Actually, we moved three times this summer. One son out of college dorm apartment to out to workforce. The other one graduated high school, moved him to college, Akron University. And then the third one was just moving physically and so I could become a superintendent in a beautiful suburb of Dayton. It's called Oakwood, Ohio.
That's too much moving, but all good things. But as somebody who like is far away from like, you can get me to move again. I just don't know how you handled that much moving, but I'm so glad it worked out.
Yeah. My wife, I can actually get near her now and she doesn't want to kill me for like the boxes and the boxes. And the
I was going to say it's the boxes and the tape and the Sharpies everywhere. And you're like, oh.
Yes. And I unfortunately had to go to work every day in an air conditioned, you know, building and around coffee and everything else. But my wife was awesome at unboxing and taking care of all the logistics and it's been beautiful. So yes.
Okay. And Brad, you started a new position this year as well. And so you both are like a few weeks in, or, you know, I say weeks, but it could be months or weeks into, oh my God, I now have a new dream job and I'm doing it. Right.
Yes, absolutely. I kind of think of it now in this transition is I lost two boys, you know, they're moved out, but I gained 2,188, you know, kids in our school district. And it's been beautiful. Our community has been very welcoming. Our schools are just beautiful. Our kids are very respected and just, you know, they say hi to me and then they're just excited. And we just have these, you know, I can already tell there's the early onset of bonding that's occurring. Mm. The staff is amazing. They're very hardworking. Just everything on the up and up has been amazing.
So fun. Brad, you're officially back. How's the past few days been for you?
It's been fantastic. A wonderful start to the new school year in a new school community, in a rural school setting for me. I mean, we have a fairly large district, Ray, here in Southern Ontario, over 110 schools, elementary and secondary. And I was placed in a school in New Hamburg, Ontario, a wonderful town, a beautiful community, and a real community feel. I mean, there are two public schools and a Catholic school in the village, and each one is a true community hub. And I'm in a place where generations of family members have attended. And so I'm, you know, learning about not only what it means to work and to serve in a small town, but also to know what those community connections mean and my new role to enhance them and to benefit from them along with everyone in the school community.
I know we're going to have such a rich conversation moving forward with just the knowledge that you guys bring to these new positions and obviously having everybody here all together on a Sunday. I will say, because it's Sunday, we haven't officially transitioned to anything official. I'd love to challenge everyone in the comments to answer this question that I'm going to pose to our group here. I want you guys to tell us one highlight from your weekend. It's Sunday. It's still Sunday. We still actually have hours and hours before the craziness begins on Monday. We're all together here. Let's do a really quick celebration blast of something that we are happy about that happened this weekend. Brad, Neil, who wants to go first?
Neil, I'm gonna leave it to you to start.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm going to count the weekend starting on, you know, Friday, 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock.
I think that's fair. Like, yeah. Teachers, too. Like, it's yeah. Like, as the moment the bell rings, it's the weekend.
Yeah. So this was my, this will give you a glimpse at, like, the things that I get to do, like, I want to do. And, again, in this new transition, I know that relationships are going to matter the most. Like, relationships and visibility are going to matter. Like, there are things that you can do to accelerate that by, you know, building trust and building that relationship and just being there and being attentive and supportive and answering questions, but also being visible and being excited and understanding the community is just that much important. So Friday night football game, my wife and I, you know, went to Friday night football game. It was awesome. The band, the cheerleaders, you know, you could smell the hot dogs kind of grilling in the back. And it was just amazing just to kind of cheer on our students. Saturday morning. So that was Friday night, Saturday morning, junior high field hockey. So got to go see some junior high field hockey.
Yeah.
That afternoon, high school field hockey. That evening, high school girls soccer. So we hit four events over the weekend for just a chance for us to kind of be around kids, being around our parents, cheering our kids on.
And ending with the best sport, soccer obviously being the soccer, best.
Well, so you know, like this. So, and Ray and Brad, you both know, we talked about this right before we jumped on live, was because of Teach Better 22 at Akron, you know, right outside Akron University, my son was with us. He came with us that time, and you got the chance to meet him. He was while I was at the conference, he was attending and taking a visit of Akron University, fell in love with it based on that weekend. And so he's now there right now. He's got a high school girlfriend who plays soccer for University of Akron. And she was playing down here in the Dayton area. So we got to drive over and we got to see her. So that was today. So that was our fifth sporting event that we got to this weekend.
That is a win. That is a lot to celebrate. Good, yes. Good sporting. I'm seeing some, Brad, people that had similar celebrations. Soccer is the best sport, obviously. Brian is backing me up on that. But we have other celebrations that are outside of football being back. I know someone said Texas beat Bama. Football was back, and they were happy about that. But I also saw, like, attending weekend, like, niece's wedding, doing nothing yesterday and getting to just relax. I don't know whose name it is, but someone said something about a breakfast place reopening. Like, that's these right. Are great celebrations. I love this. Good. The Browns won? What?
Come on.
I have to say, Brianne has been so – Brianne's obviously part of the Teach Better team, friends, but, like, I stalk her on social media, even though she's somebody I can just very easily call and ask what's new in her life. And she's been posting the cutest photos of her kids being back at school, back in sports, like everything happening again. So Brianne, thank you for fueling my social media addiction.
So quick story with Brianne. So Brianne is in my hometown. So yeah. I was attending my nephew's basketball game 2 years ago or something. And Brianne's son is there on the same team. Like, so she's like five seats away from me. And I was trying not to geek out of her. And I think, like, it was just kind of mutual, this like, hey, it's you and it's you. And I didn't want to, like, yeah, like much, much love. And so she is awesome.
Brie's the best. There
in Ashland. Yes.
Yeah. Similar to, I say this about you, Brad, but like Brie is somebody I need in my life. I don't care if that means we work together or anything, but Brie is just good.
Brie is good people and a wonderful educator and an incredible friend. Brie and I and others at Teach Better 22 bonded because Brie was our chauffeur. Brie made sure we got picked up at the airport and Brie in her mighty minivan made sure we got to all the venues on time. And she was the glue that held, you know, the people coming together for the conference from all over the place. She knew the lay of the land. She was an excellent driver. She was a fantastic navigator and just a wonderful ambassador of people coming together for the conference. It's awesome to stay so in touch fun. With Brie.
So fun. Okay, wait, before we transition, Brad, your celebration from the weekend, because I love reading the comments, but we got to hear yours.
Celebrating a wonderful week back to school. We're also celebrating a healthy dog in our house. Our dog had eye surgery. My wife, Jennifer, has been extremely diligent in making sure that Charlie had the correct medications. Like, I'm going to say a series of five different drops and ointments that had to be done four times a day. Thankfully he went back to the specialist on Friday and got a clean bill of health. He's healing, and he's a 12-year-old pup who's we think he's got the spirit of a puppy still. So we're happy that he's on the mend. And so we celebrated with a relaxing weekend at the lake and walks around the park where we have our trailer, and just some nice relaxing time with reading crossword puzzles, campfires, and a Blue Jays win. Blue Jays win today in a series sweep for our Toronto Blue Jays against the KC Royals. So it was a good weekend all around.
You guys have a lot to celebrate. As for one, and you both are like, let me give you 75, but like, I won't say the 76 because you didn't ask.
Yeah. No, it's too much.
Right.
Well, before we go, I'm going to share my win. So I had a great weekend too, relaxing, low-key weekend. Many of you know I had shoulder surgery, like 10, 11 days ago. Feeling good. Developed blood clots. Can I just put a PSA? Like, those are not fun. Like, I know people like, oh, they're dangerous. Yeah. I know that, like, health, yes. But also, they hurt. So if anyone wants to be in the ouch, my body hurts phase, call me. I'll grieve with you. But on the mend and like actually feeling really great. So shout out to Jackie, who I think is still in the comments. She has been my pen pal all week, texting her. And so I know she's having a week too. So celebrating all of you who are persevering through the weekend. My friend sent me a text on Wednesday or Thursday that said, you know, hey, remember that you can't be sick over the weekend. So anything you're feeling throughout the week, like, has to end because you're not allowed to be sick over the weekend. So no. I like that logic. I kind of embraced it. And I think it's been a good mental thing. We're going to transition here into some educator conversations. If you have anything specific that you want to discuss, maybe a problem of practice, as Brad would say, throw it in the comments. Otherwise, we have a direction that we'll be taking. We'll be right back. Sunday Strategies, the segment of our show that focuses on educational conversations, questions you may have, questions you've submitted, and of course, anything that we want to throw at our incredible guest, Dr. Neil Gupta. Brad, I know that we have done the show for the last few weeks, had great attendance, and had a lot of activity in the comments, so definitely keep up that practice. Neil, if it's okay with you, I'd love to start with a quote that I stole from you. I talk about it all the time, and I know every time we're together, I tell you that I still use the same quote. So I'm sure you're sick of it, but I just posted on Instagram, and of course, people are already enjoying the content. It says, when I interviewed you back in 2018, you said that you need to have the skin of an armadillo and the heart of a marshmallow to be an effective educator. And I'm pretty sure this quote was shared with you from a mentor as well. Do you mind speaking to it a little bit as we head into our week ahead?
Yeah, I think. So first it was from a university professor while I was going through my graduate studies. But, you know, we talk about this idea of, you know, and then this is, you know, I'll even say this was before Brené Brown, in the respect of, you know, being a leader is really putting yourself out there. You know, you've got to be able to know that, you know, it's real easy. Like I said, I went to 5 games, and guess what? Everybody loved that I was there. And, you know, and those are, I think, sometimes what people see, you know, and kind of go, gosh, I want to be a leader that gets to do those fun things. But then you go back and there are those emails, or there's that other work to be done. Decisions that are made, you know, when I just celebrated and talked about the 2,188 students, you know, sometimes decisions that are made don't benefit all 2,188 students. And so you get into that place where there's, you know, some frustration that's caused, or some worry and some issues and problems that tend to happen. Public school districts are on a finite budget. There's, you know, you cannot pay for everything that everybody's going to want in a public education. And so, you know, there's this idea of, There are going to be people when you put yourself in any type of leadership position, title, that aren't going to like what you say. And so how do you endure that? How do you kind of get through that when really your heart says you just want to be liked too? You know, mm-hmm. you just want everybody to like you all the time. And so this idea of having the skin of an armadillo is something that leaders need to kind of develop. I'll even use the word develop. I don't think you have it. I think you develop it. You know, I think now some people may have it more developed at early ages or early years or experiences compared to others. But my hope is people just know how to, I don't want to use the word mask it, but they know how to kind of filter things that kind of arise as they happen. You know, you've got to put yourself in this place of mentally saying, you know, I'm doing what I believe to be what's best for kids, or I'm doing what I believe, you know, should be what a leader is doing at this moment in time. That's that thick skin of an armadillo. But this idea of, and especially in education, the heart of a marshmallow is this idea of, we still have to care for kids. We still have to show some empathy. We still have to understand that, like, the decisions that are made do affect others in possible negative ways. And so this cavalier mindset of, I'm making the decision and I'm kind of like not going to think about the effects of how people are going to feel of it really, really is important, you know? And so I think that you've got to balance both of those constantly, or else you're going to be ineffective.
You know, it's interesting, Brad and Neil, I'd really love to get your thoughts on this. I got a question on Instagram that I think very, very well fits with this conversation. That was someone, I'm going to butcher the way that they asked the question, but it was somebody saying, I know what I'm doing is right. I feel like it's right. I'm making the best decisions humanly possible for students. And yet I'm dealing with occasional backlash, either from colleagues or parents or leaders or whatever. I think we have so many educators that want to do well. There seems to be a very fine line between really wanting to do well, but also choosing to be reflective versus really wanting to do what you think is right because you think it's the right way to go, and then becoming almost, I don't know how to phrase this, but like, what's the way I want to phrase this? Somebody that doesn't take criticism, and therefore that can be a negative. Can maybe one of you can rephrase what I'm trying to ask, but do you know what I'm asking?
Yeah, I hear you. And I think that in each school building and in each district, Ray, there are countless dedicated, heart-led, exceptional educators. And I think there is one thing to be said that each individual has his or her own focus, gifts, superpowers. And it's another to say that he or she is among a faculty or a staff group where working together for the common good means that there are norms established where educators can disagree respectfully. Educators can learn through setbacks. Educators can come together and do hard things, do challenging work together, because the stakes are incredibly high. The stakes are incredibly high in terms of how we feel about ourselves as individuals, as educators, our relationships with parents and caregivers, our relationships with our admin leaders. All of that serves to maybe give us a sense that we have to look out for ourselves to make sure that we're protecting our reputations, as well as we are living up to the standards that we set for ourselves for fear of looking wrong, dumb, or making a misstep. But there's one thing to be cavalier, as Dr. Neil said. There's another to be a knights among a round table, where, you know, you are coming together and you know, Neil, maybe you can speak to the idea of setting or upholding the norms, not only for individual achievement as educators, but for collective efficacy, because that's the number one thing that's going to move student looking forward.
Well, and maybe the question is more so, how do you know when you're being criticized that you should either stick with the plan or change?
Yeah. So I think, like, you know, and I'll get to your, I'll attempt to try to get to your answer to address it, but I think right at the very beginning, I think that, again, leadership, what I had to learn was, and this is, I think, part of that Brené Brown moment of, like, the leaders coming in. Like, I think about when I was growing up, leaders to me was like the superheroes, like Superman and Batman. And you get these people like the Lone Ranger who comes in the middle of the night, does something good and leaves, you know? And so then you watch these TV shows of the CEO is walking in and makes the answer. And that's the decision that's going to be made because you know, leaders don't ask questions. Leaders have answers. And I trust me, I tried to lead that way a long time ago and it doesn't work. Like I could, I'll help you all right now. It doesn't work.
Is it just really tiring? Is that why it doesn't work?
No, it just backfires. Yes. Like you're just picking up the pieces and you've got egg on your face sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so I think you've got to kind of manage this idea of like, I think about there's this visual with four boxes and you've got to think about like, is it urgent, important? Is it, you know, important, not urgent? And, you know, and is it not important, not urgent? And so this idea of, does the decision have to be made right now? Do you have all the factors going into making the decision? I don't mind. I love making decisions. I love, like, I have an opinion over everything. And so I'm that guy that will, you know, can do those sorts of things. But my lens could be, I was a previous high school math teacher, you know, previous worked at a high school. I, like you just said, Ray, like I know middle school and high school real well. I don't know elementary real well. Like, to be honest with you, I mean, I didn't go in that system sort of thing. I don't know facilities real well. I don't know finance real well. You know, I could tell you lots of things I don't know well. But if I sat there and said, well, now my title of superintendent tells me I know certain things and I have to make the decision of those things, I have to realize I don't have to make them right now. So here's a great example. There was it was October a number of years ago, and somebody said, we need the state, the high school schedule for this testing schedule for the state that we're going to have in March. So 6 months in advance. And I was sitting there saying, I know how to create a schedule. I know how to divide minutes up. I know all this kind of stuff. I know how to make spreadsheets. I can throw it on Canva. I can make this thing look pretty. Like I got it. Luckily, I slowed down and a couple principals, administrators came and said, Neil, make the decision. I said, I'm not going to make the decision right now. It's October. This thing isn't, we don't need it until March. So they said, okay, well, who do you want to talk to get some more information? Now watch this. I want to talk to the secretaries. I want to talk to the transportation supervisor. I want to talk to the custodians and I want to talk to the food service, because food service will change. Transportation will say, how about the career center? How about the middle school that will be affected by that schedule? Because you might have middle school kids that are taking high school classes. So you got to step back and go, oh my gosh, this one decision has all these ripple effects that kind of go through this. And so you don't have to make the decision right now. So pick up the phone and calling and talking to people and kind of managing it. Doing that up front helps make that decision a lot easier and better kind of in the long run. So I just wanted to kind of say that first, as far as we have to be able to set the tempo. People will come to you and say, I need a decision right now. You've got to make a decision right now. And you're going to be so hyped up because you want to save the day that you've got to be able to sit back and go, we don't have to do that right now. Let's get some more. We don't know enough about this just yet. Let's kind of figure that out. I think the second piece, just being able and willing to say when you mess up. Sometimes I think, unfortunately, we double down. We double down because we want to show, number one is we don't want to appear as though we messed up. And as leaders, we have to be okay to say that wasn't a great decision. We're going to step back and we're going to step back 50 steps and be okay with that. I don't think we do that enough.
Man. Yeah. That's hard to do, whether you're in a leadership role because of your title or you're in a leadership role that you choose to take within your role that you have, whether it's a department or anything else. Yeah. That's hard to do. I've really learned that's something I need to continue to work on. Brad, how are you at admitting that you're like, you've made a mistake? I feel like for some reason with your approach in conversation, you would like admit you were wrong, but somehow it would like make me feel good. Because every time you share information, I'm always like, I left that conversation feeling so lovely.
That's so kind. I think I'm getting better and better at being more transparent and more vulnerable, especially if I've made a misstep or experienced a setback. And, you know, and as Neil said, I mean, what important modeling it is for anyone, regardless of your role in education, to be vulnerable and admit that you made a misstep or something unexpected happens. We talk about the difference between intent and impact, and sometimes the best laid plans and the most heartfelt intent for something to go well has an impact that either falls flat or causes concern or even causes damage that we didn't intend. So, you know, what important modeling it is for anyone, whether you're a teacher or a secretary or a custodian or a bus driver or a school leader or a superintendent or a director of education. If you've experienced a setback and it affects others, let them know. Let them know what the setback is. Let them know what you've learned. Let them know what steps you're going to take to both correct and amend what's happened, but also to learn through the missteps or the mistakes, what important modeling that is. And yeah, Ray, I think I'm getting better and better at just being vulnerable and putting it out there when I've messed up and asking for forgiveness and asking, and trying to peel back the layers of decisions and being collaborative, like Neil is suggesting, also makes people, it helps to share responsibility or share empathy or I guess share the load when there's a misstep, knowing that you've done your level best to consult, to be empathetic to different positions and to different priorities. And you have to go ahead and take the next step. Maybe the next step is a misstep, but you can always say, hey, let's rally from what we've learned. Let's take another new step together.
Yeah, I like that. I did the best I could with the information that I collected from the groups of people, and whether it was a misstep or not, I did what I could with the information before me, which is nice. The other thing that you mentioned, Neil, that obviously has to do with your great example, was bringing in people that maybe were not the most expected groups, I think is really helpful for any educator watching the show, whether they're watching it live or catching it after the fact, streaming on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and LinkedIn. We all appreciate when you're here exclusive in the private group on Sundays, because we see you all in the comments and we love being able to interact with you and answer your questions. One thing I really valued about the question that initially kind of took us along this route was, how do you know when you're making the right decision? And I think your example was wonderful in, you don't. So you bring in people who are going to bring in different skills and strengths and weaknesses than you, and you take all the information you can and you try to make the best step forward. And we almost need to remember that the best step forward might just be a little step. Like, you may not feel ready for quite some time to make the large step that maybe you had intended or would have done initially, but even just those small little steps in the right direction is a great approach. I know Brad loves to quote and always finds the perfect time to quote the Teach Better motto, but like, better today, better tomorrow. Even if you are doing a little 0.5% or 1% better because you got a little bit more information, I think that's a win. So I know a lot of people use our private Facebook group for that kind of crowdsourcing opinions, and, you know, leaning on our networks, whether I'm texting one of you or texting people in the comments, trying to find the right answers, that can be really important. So as we're looking at different things that we can share on Sundays, I know all of us are preparing for a wonderful, I'm just going to say it, it's going to be a wonderful week ahead. No matter what you've experienced thus far, it will actually be a wonderful week ahead. Neil, if you had to give maybe your favorite piece of advice, and I know I say that knowing that you're going to give me like 2 or 3 or 77, where do you think we should start? What should our community be considering as they head into school on Monday?
Sure. You know, I think for me, I'm constantly thinking about what is our staff need right now? What do they need? What do they want? What do they know? Like, you know, so I think about this idea of just empathy, and it kind of goes back to the earlier part of what we were talking about, but this one too, like, I really am just kind of sitting there, you know, today, tonight, in that reflection mode of, what do our staff need? And then I go through those questions. What do our students need right now? How, you know, what is it that I think I'm doing, but I'm maybe not meeting their needs right now? And what can I be doing differently? Parents. Okay. Parent groups. Like, what are they not? It may be crystal clear to me. Because I've gone through it in my head and I've talked about it in our district administrator meetings, but did that actually translate to them? Like, oh, we sent out that email. Okay. But did it really translate to them? Have I really communicated properly? I know I walked into classrooms, for example, last week, but did I really make a connection with them? And I really did it. Maybe I can't solve it for them, but did I at least take the time to listen? And so I can at least add it to my, you know, to my list of things that I need to kind of think about down the line. Those are the things that kind of run through my mind. And I do have to be in that reflective place of, what am I doing to kind of help them, and how do I know? And then kind of go through that through the lists.
I wonder if that can be like an action step we can challenge our community with. We always love theory. We always love discussing fun stories, but what's the tactical takeaway? I think something I've I've never done, but could pull from your really great strategies you've been able to share thus far. Maybe it's a list of who the people that you need to check in with, or at least be cognizant of, right there on your desk, hanging somewhere on a bulletin board that you refer to. And it's that mindset of like, have I served the groups that I'm responsible for? For me, thinking as a sixth grade math teacher in, you know, a rural classroom, it would be, okay, did I communicate with my colleagues? Did I communicate with my students? Did I communicate with my stakeholders? Did I communicate with my leadership? And it's just the gut check. Maybe it takes as much as 28 seconds before you turn off the computer, but have I done my due diligence? Because then if you hear, even not an hour later, if you hear later that a group wasn't well read in what you think they should have been, you can at least kind of sit in the faith that you tried and you will do better in the future. It wasn't an ignorant element. You really did try to serve that group. I wonder if that gut check could be helpful.
Yeah, it's this idea of like, so this kind of sounds morbid, but there's a, you know, I forget where this comes from, but there's something called taking a Gemba walk. And it, from another country, Gemba is a word for like walking the crime scene sort of thing. Like, yeah. I can sit in my office all day and kind of, again, sit there and convince myself I'm doing a great job. I like, people know what I'm talking about. People know what I did. I sent these emails out. I've like, I know education. And so through my lens, you know, I've taken care of everything. Getting out into the classrooms, getting into the buildings, getting, you know, getting into the community, talking with the staff, and then like making sure that I'm hearing real conversations, not just the conversations that like this idea of psychological safety, where people feel that they can actually share what's on their mind without retribution, or, you know, that there'll be any, you know, repercussions for what's being said. I've got to be in this place of true, open, honest listening sort of thing. You know, this is not my school. This is not adult school for adults sort of thing. It's really just talking to the kids going, is this meeting your needs? And if not, again, tell me what you need. And I may be able to answer it and support it. And maybe it's no, maybe it's yes. Maybe it's not now. Maybe it'll happen in the future, but at least I'll at least know.
Yeah, I really like that. Collecting that information, doing that gut check. I like that walking the crime scene. Like, I know that is morbid the way you say it, but it's exactly what in my head. And it's like, right before you leave, you're just doing one last lap to say, yeah, have I done my due diligence so that I can leave here saying I've done what I know I can do. And until I get more information, I think I've done it well.
Mm-hmm. And Ray and Neil, that kind of brings me back to the beginning of our conversation. Neil, you were describing, and I saw on your social media, all of the different ways that you were connecting with kids and their families in your district at a variety of sporting events. And I think what a great way to stay and to demonstrate visibility. What a great way to open yourself to conversations with your community, with your students and their parents, in a setting where everyone feels relaxed and everyone is literally rooting you and rooting the school on for the kids on the field. And finally, through that visibility and availability, I'm wondering, you know, what are you learning about your new district? And are you finding it's helpful in terms of preempting situations or conflicts? Is it helpful in restoring, or is it important to keep yourself? Like, I'm just thinking of all the value, but I'm wondering what you're taking away from these visits on the weekend.
Yeah, it's all of the above. You know, I think that you know, relationship is key and at the center. I think of it as, you know, when you go out into nature, my wife is just talking. So our backyard is dark now, obviously, but it's like we've got this beautiful backyard, and my wife loves to go outside and sit, have coffee, read a book. And, you know, you sit out there for a minute and you've made all this noise, like, you know, there's nothing. But you curl up in your chair and about 8 minutes or 9 minutes of just quietly reading, and all of a sudden the squirrels start coming out, and, you know, all of a sudden nature starts kind of meeting you. And so the goal is to get kind of our students and our community and our staff to be in that same place. If I walk through, for example, Brad, if I walk through the school and everybody tells me how wonderful it is, I can pat myself back out and get in the car and go home. Or I got to realize, are they just giving me that smile test? And we haven't really built a good culture of of transparency and connection, because gosh, we can always improve on something. And so, you know, right now I'm in that place of like, I'm not mad, I'm not frustrated. Come, let's have a conversation and let's kind of figure where some things are that we can look at. What I'm finding out is that our teachers are working really, really hard. And my goal is just to affirm them, to get into classrooms and affirm the great work that they're doing. Our kids want to be celebrated for the things that they're doing. Our parents, I'm in a district that I'm so proud of that celebrates the arts. And, you know, they're so I'm looking for more opportunities to enhance the arts. We've got, you know, kids, music, visual arts, that's something there. And then I have another group of parents that are talking about more STEM and education. So again, how do I help build some programs and at least spotlight, first of all, have we spotlighted the things that we are doing, or is it just that we're doing them, but you have to kind of, you know, go onto the computer and 20 clicks in, a parent's going to find it. That's not fair. So we've got to make sure we also promote the positive things that are happening and then start to find out what the gaps are that might help to meet their needs.
See, that's another good one. That's another takeaway that we all can try and do this week is how can you make the squirrels come out? I like this like theory. I think this is so fun. How can you make the real like culture show and not just walk quickly through and say, oh, there must be nothing here. I think that's so fun. Yeah. Cool. Brad, I do want to take a moment and tell you that I think you do a really good job. And I know that I always can improve as your co-host, but I love working with you. And one of my favorite moments is about to happen. And I think that you do it really, 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 really well.
Ray, I don't think my head is going to fit in this little square here in the Teach Better Sunday weekly warm-up space anymore. It is a delight and a pleasure to be your co-host. I learn and grow and enjoy through this space so much. And this is one of my favorite segments coming up right after our break.
This is my favorite moment. Neil, get excited.
I'm excited.
Okay, hold on. Brad. Okay, here's the insider scoop really quick. We decided to do a weekly giggle like 5 minutes before the first show on August 20th. So we made that commercial like 3 minutes before the show. And at the time, we were like, this is really good. We're really impressive. And then, Brad, I've been around. I've been like catching here and there clips. That commercial is really lame. And the guy who's laughing is kind of funny. Like, if next time you guys can like go back in the episode, rewatch that commercial, the guy is like, he has a lot of personality. I don't know who he is, whoever is in that commercial, but I like him. I think we need to have him on the show.
I am going to get, I'm going to find out where that stock footage came from. And I'm going to identify that individual and make sure that he's invited to join us. And maybe he can do like the weekly giggle transition live for us here on Speed Year.
Wouldn't that be amazing? I'm just saying, if you're live with us, or if you haven't noticed that commercial, that like when we're not live, rewind and go see. He's got a whole personality for how many seconds? 17 seconds is that guy just giggling to himself, and he's great. We're going to name him. You got to hunt him down, Brad. I'm just saying. Anyway, time for our weekly giggle.
You know, we're going to start with sort of a weekly heartwarming moment. And then there'll be a giggle or a groan at the end. And this weekly giggle highlights the work of two well-known celebrities and dignitaries, Oprah Winfrey and Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who are donating $1,200 a month to Maui wildfire survivors. Of course, we're aware of the devastation and the dire circumstances in Maui. So our hearts and support to everyone watching or listening that's affected by those destructive fires on the island of Maui. And now celebrity duo Oprah Winfrey and Dwayne The Rock Johnson have created a special welfare fund, to support those that are directly injured or have lost property, with $1,200 a month out of their own pockets for each and every one. And, you know, I was always a fan, Ray and Neil, of of Dwayne The Rock Johnson before, but now I will never, ever take him for granted.
So good. So good. Brad, thanks for giving us a weekly giggle every single week. I do love this segment.
He's a pretty so nice guy. Yeah.
Friends, we are going to wish you an incredible week ahead. Before we do, I want you all to make sure you connect with Neil Gupta. There are so many different comments I've seen throughout the show of people talking about wanting to connect with him personally, but then also wanting to maybe share his information with a friend or a leader or somebody that you are building a relationship with in your network to continue to connect good people with good people. Now, I can tell you, you can go over to teachbear.com and look at his speaker profile that has all of his information, but that takes a few more clicks, and let's be honest, it's Sunday. So, Neil, would you mind sharing how people can stay connected in like an easy way? That way, it'll be a foolproof method.
Absolutely. So I'm on Twitter all the time. So you could just follow me on Twitter. Might be the best, easiest way first on. So I'm at Dr. Neil Gupta, and then direct message. Send a post to me, anything, and then we'll get in touch.
Wonderful, wonderful. Brad, thanks for doing another show with me. I'm excited for next week. I think next week we have a panel that we are organizing. Excited to share with everybody, and more good stuff to come.
Excited to dive into conversation with our panel next week, and always excited to connect with Neil. Dr. Neil Gupta, thank you so much for being with us tonight. Always amazing to connect. And I love seeing what you do. And like I said, how you do it too, really resonates with everyone in your sphere. So keep on making a big difference.
Great. So thank you.
Happy Sunday.
See you.